What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other night, John, it was like one of her rivals out-talking
that Brandi Rhodes cut on her. She's fine too now.
But Jade, my point, Jade wasn't really like getting back, talking back to her. She's got to work on that side of it. It feels like on the promo side.
I want to say if she's AEW, she had a bunch of girls that kind of did the talking.
Did it for her. Yeah. Right. We got to work like on that if we're going to take over.
Hey, she bad though. She bad in the ring and she's stunning. Like
stunning is the word.
Oh, yeah. And then can Cody Rhodes' wife, is she a free agent? Like, can she come with him now?
She was there.
But I'm saying she's not under contract with WWE, though.
She's bad,
too, bro. Hey, I ain't gonna lie. When I first saw Cody Rhodes, like, leave WWE, and he was, like, on the independent stuff, and I saw he had a fine black wife, too, I said, all right, Cody Rhodes, I'm fooled with you, bro. He just lost me when he came back to WWE. That I was out on him at that point. And that's my concern with him also. Like, yeah, the story is freaking awesome. Like, awesome. But like, I'm concerned about can he carry the weight of the organization? Like that's where I'm.
Oh no, that's my total.
Yeah, the story was awesome, but the story is over now. Like it's time to be.
I am in a. And guess what?
The story is finished.
The Rock's gone. Yep. Roman's gone.
Yep, it's all on you, big dog. I think Seth is taking some time off too, right?
That's taking the you. Like so, who
you got it, big dog? Who,
yeah, man. I mean, I think that's a real because. I will say from a consumer standpoint, and I'm casual. Admittedly, I'm casual, but this feels like the best the WWE has been since the Attitude Era.
Oh, for sure. Easily the best it's been.
And the main components that have made it that are going to be gone for the next 4 to 5 months, at least.
But we're going to see, man. Like they put him out there to be the next Cena. So he's him. But we'll see if
Cena's not doing it anymore. Even you know, I mean,
and then they had to bring out. They had this crazy. God. They had to bring out Cena, the Undertaker, like Seth with the Shield gear on. Everybody to make that dude go over last Sunday night. So
and you know what I mean? Like that to me, just I agree with everything you're saying. Like the build up, the story, the finishing. That's an easy thing to sort of get behind as a fan, right?
Right.
Like,
there's only so many things you can find that your dad had to put in the pawn shop, but to tug on our heartstrings. And I mean,
that's great. Yeah. Okay, now what?
Yeah, but we're here now.
What are we doing now that the story's complete?
Yeah.
Like, is there a new story? We have to go. We have chapter two or something. Like, I mean, what's the Mother Goose?
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think that's from a. You know, I do think the WWE is in good hands with Triple H. I do think like, you know, they're gonna find a way to make it creative and compelling. But I do think the reality is that Cody and WWE fans have been on the teat the last 3 months and now they're not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the by the way, did you see the you're talking about beautiful black women? The Taylor Rooks video.
Oh, yeah. Hey, she's kind of grown on me, too, man, because I've known who Taylor Rooks is for years. I never really had her in that tier. But, yeah, she's got that boost for me, for sure. She's got the
interesting. Jason, have you seen the video?
Silver approval.
I have not seen the video.
Okay. I would encourage you to just put in your search bar on Twitter there.
Oh, it's crazy. I can show you right now. Hold on. Give me 1 sec.
Yeah. I'd love to get Jason's just sort of
reaction. I'm not sure I want to do that. Right.
The man of God. You don't want to tempt the man of God.
Exactly. So
I'll on Jade Cargill.
I'll check it out in the break.
Is this the see-through green dress?
That is what I'm looking at. That's what Insane's making.
This is the first time I'm looking at this.
The man of God.
I want to stay focused. I want to stay focused.
We need
on
a live
play-by-play,
play, I think, Jason.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Sane can do it for you.
No, you're a man of God. I'm just you know, I'm saying. Like,
I said last thing, but it's not. Last thing before we get you out of here for real, because you know the man. Shout out to D. Wilkes. You mentioned him earlier about
man.
His three-point shoot, but the guy gets the St. George's gig after winning two state titles
big
at FACS.
Dog, big D, not little.
Moving on up in the world, no question about it. Man, you know him well. You've had him on your show. Great dude, great coach.
Man, awesome.
Couldn't be
story,
happier
man.
For that guy to get that job.
I called that brother with real tears in my eyes when he was telling me the news.
He's one of the good ones.
Oh, yeah, he deserves it, man. D's a real friend of mine. Just an awesome dude, man. Just a student of the game. And just hard work paying off, man. A lot of adversity.
Yeah.
Not to really put my man's whole story out there, but he lost his father and his brother during the pandemic, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he lost his father and his father and his brother. Took all of his nieces and nephews from his brother. So he's got, he's single parent father, recently remarried. He brought in all he's taking care of his kids, of course, and his nieces and nephews, and just, man, blessed beyond measure. My guy, D. Wilkes, just an amazing dude.
He is.
Man, shout out to my guy for sure.
Yeah, congratulations,
hey,
D. Wilkes.
Go St. George's
coach.
Hey, what are they, the Griffins, right? Hey, go Griffins,
I figure
bro.
They
hey.
Might be on Gabe's list here soon
hey, go
with
Griffins. Hey,
having
hey.
A guy like D. Wilkes.
Hey, if any of y'all are Christian Brothers alum, I'll let y'all know. Hey, I know y'all thought y'all was getting my kid, man. Hey, you better come with it, man. Come, he's going to be a Griffin if y'all keep playing around. I'm not for to beg y'all for no money out here, man. Y'all better stop playing with my kid, bro.
Don't play with Sane or with Gabe. He is Anthony Sane, host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. We appreciate him joining us every Friday. Thank you, brother.
All right, Sane to y'all, man.
We got more to do, more to get to. I'm sure we'll have more Mark Pope talk. Of course, then we got to bring it back home to Penny and recruiting. He's got more to fill out as well. So two more hours. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM at ESPN.
Blacktop Movement is changing moving in the city of Memphis. So when you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. I'll tell you, I'm getting some new furniture this weekend. I'm not moving. I tried to do it myself, and it was just like a reminder, like, yo, not cut out for that. Can't do that. Scratching up my walls. Oh, man, that's a disaster. And that's what Black Tie is going to do for you. They're going to help you avoid scratching up your walls. They're going to help you avoid having to get involved yourself. Too old for that, man. Like Chuck falling down on the set last night. Too old for that. Call him. 316-6196 is the phone number. Get on the schedule. It's going to book up fast because spring is here. Everybody's going to be moving, so make sure you get on the schedule. It's 316-6196. Blacktop moving, changing, moving in the city of Memphis. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yep, it's Mark Pope. Kentucky has settled on hiring Mark Pope to succeed John Calipari. We can go through just who Mark Pope is and everything he's done to this point as a coach, obviously former Kentucky player transferred in from Washington. But in 4 years at Utah Valley, from 15 to 19, he won 58% of his games. In 5 years at BYU, he won 68% of his games with two NCAA tournament appearances. Never won his conference, did not win the WCC, and obviously did not win the Big 12. So he is going from never winning his leagues, not winning a game in the NCAA tournament, to getting a big job. Now I just thought about this, Brad. If you could go to Rick Pitino's Twitter account, because Rick Pitino it was actually pretty remarkable, Jason. We might not be able to play it, right? We won't be able to use the audio.
I might be able to double it here. Let me try it.
Yeah, let's see, because I think it's worth playing if you can get it.
I've got him pulled up here.
I can't remember a time where,
Can you hear this?
It's a special day for the University of Kentucky.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Want to hear that? Okay, here we go. This is Rick Pitino's Twitter. You were talking.
Wow. What a special day for the University of Kentucky. The leader, the captain of the Untouchables, is coming home to lead the Wildcats. A lot of people out there talk about Jay Wright, Danny Hurley, Billy Donovan. They all had their trials and tribulations as well early on. But Mark Pope went into the Big 12 this year, beat Kansas as Kansas, beat Baylor at home, and in his first year got to the NCAA. Mark Pope, offensively, no one does it better. The way his teams move, the way his teams shoot the three, the ball movement, the player movement is outstanding. What you don't realize, it took Jay Wright 11 years to finally get an NCAA win. Billy Donovan was at Marshall for 2 years, didn't have an NCAA appearance. He went on to greatness. Mark Pope will go on to greatness. You can put it down. He's not only a Rhodes Scholar candidate, but I remember as if it's yesterday, John Pelfrey getting misty eyes in my first year as a basketball coach at Kentucky. Every time he put on the uniform, he was near tears. And I said to him, John, what is with you every time you put that uniform on? He said, Coach, you just don't understand what this means to all of us from Kentucky. Well, I can guarantee you one thing. Nobody epitomizes the name Kentucky on the front of the jersey more than Mark Pope. What some of you don't realize is how good a basketball mind he has, how much of a relentless recruiter he will be. Now, recruiting's different today. We're now coaching all pros. The NIL has taken away amateur basketball and has made them professional athletes. I'm sure Kentucky's going to have a strong NIL. You have one of the premier young coaches in the game. Relish it, because he will do you proud. I know I sit here today at St. John's, and I couldn't be any more prouder than to see Mark Pope lead the Kentucky Wildcats to another championship. He'll get it done. He's got the right stock. He's got a beautiful family, and he loves, absolutely loves, Kentucky across his chest. Get it done, Mark. I love you. You're going to do a fabulous job.
Wow.
What do you think about that, Jason?
I wonder how much Kentucky paid Pitino to hype up this hire.
Good grief. He left no room for doubt.
He deserved a check for that performance. There's no question about it. And frankly, to tell you should have hired Rick Pitino.
Yep.
You know, another reminder. I mean, you know, nobody knows Kentucky basketball better. And sure, you'd face some laughs and some, you know, a little bit of criticism up front, but more proven. That's the one thing you say about Rick Pitino, no matter about how you feel about him as a person. And certainly a guy that, you know, when it comes to – he's trying to tell you how Kentucky Mark Pope is. He's trying to help the sell here, man. That's how bad this is you got to enlist a former coach to come on here and try to sell the hire for you. It's sad, bro. It's sad. It is. I mean, that sound you hear when they hired Mark Pope is the sound of Alabama – Auburn, Arkansas, all passing you in the SEC, and maybe even more. Hell, maybe Mississippi State. You know, that's what's happening right now in Kentucky. Everybody's passing you.
So you don't come away from what Rick said feeling like it's genuine. You think it was
I'm sure it was genuine. I'm sure he knows Mark Pope well. Again, he should have charged for that. No, he probably did it out of the goodness of his heart, seeing the situation
Kentucky paid him for the cameo. I think it was like $30.
My point is this great offensive genius lost to Duquesne as a 6 seed in the first round. The last time he was in the tournament, he lost to as a 6 seed to number 11 UCLA. Like that's you can be an offensive genius fine and still lose to teams that you shouldn't. In both cases, Mark Pope did. So again, it's I don't want to call it a pig because again, there's a good chance Mark Pope is a solid coach and will be one at Kentucky. But it feels a little bit like putting lipstick here on a pig in the sense that you're trying to dress up what's a disappointing hire. That's it, and you're having to go back to a guy some said you should have hired to do the job now to talk it up for you, man. I mean, it's Mitch has blown this. I just can't it can't be stated anymore, you know, any more clearly.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I guess you could look at that and feel better about Mark Pope because of what Rick Pitino said. It's not the take from me. No, it's not. It's the fact that you got to go to Rick Pitino to try to get some excitement around this thing. Old Kentucky fans hearing their old coach again to talk about the new coach is the only way to get these guys excited about Mark Pope. That's a bad hire.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ceiling is like what? I mean, I don't even know.
The ceiling is like fourth in the SEC, man. That's what it is. Maybe third. That's the ceiling. And maybe that's after a couple of years. Dude, they're about to drop like a rock. Respect gone. Brand gone. And I'm telling you, they'll be rushing to get him up out of there in about two. When that recruiting's not hitting the level they're used to, and then of course it's gonna take him time. That's what you don't have in college basketball these days. Nobody's waiting around 3-4 years for you to build a winner. They're gonna be going nuts up there. and way more nuts than they were about Cal here in the end.
That's the problem. The time. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have the time. You got to come in and boom, be ready to go, to jump back in the tournament, like, you know, all that. You have to do that these days. These guys don't give you 3-4 years like Tubby wanted it. Remember, that stuff doesn't happen anymore. You got to bounce. And I think he's, you know, again, what? So, sir, you're going to change your NIL practice and go get him $4-5 million so that he doesn't have to go raise it on his own? Because I tell you this, him going out and raising it on his own like you had Cal do, that won't be the same either. And so you're going to have to arm him with something. And so Mitch, which is, you know, different than Mitch has been operating the last few years. And so this is set up for failure. Although, you know, I could see a scenario where, yeah, maybe in 3-4 years we're hearing from Kentucky again. That is not what you wanted.
Or no, it's not.
Yeah, to follow Cal. So
So look, it's a reminder of the difficulty, I think, of the job. And, you know, when you, again, not totally unlike when Cal left Memphis, bro. It was like, it ended up being like, it played out kind of the exact same way, you know, like Memphis wound up with Pastner, who was unproven, had never been a head coach, had like extensive success as an assistant, but, you know, had never had success as a head coach. And like, I don't know, the parallels are kind of kooky to me. You know what I mean?
I mean, for them and for Louisville, it's just been a sort of revelation that maybe we're not who we thought we were, and certainly not with the guy. We aren't that without Cal. I mean, that's for both of them, because I bring up that point, John, because we said during this search, you know, initially, I think it was right after maybe Scott Drew turned it down, like, well, at least this won't get to what happened with Louisville, where you're getting down to a sixth or seventh guy. And I realize Mark Pope might have been higher on the list, but it comes off the same way. Is that demand? There's no excitement whatsoever. Nobody's getting up for this hire. Not your own fan base. Not nationally. Nobody. Again, you're having to go back to Rick Pitino. You understand what that? I mean, that's, again, how can you operate? You know, thinking that's a good plan. I'm confused here. I'm really confused at how you get that. It literally did happen. What happened in Louisville pretty much happened here. Although, you know, you could say Mark Post was a little bit higher on the list than Kelsey was, but it became a disaster. You know, and something that obviously your fan base can't even get excited about during the opening press conference.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But the new era starts now for Kentucky basketball. We'll see what kind of players he gets, what kind of success he has in the portal. But yeah, it is going to be Mark Pope there at Kentucky.
Next story.
All right, we got Lakers Grizzlies tonight. You know the setup. 6:30, of course, you can hear pregame right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We encourage you to do so. And then Eric Hasseltine will be on the call at 7. Grizzlies, obviously, huge underdogs, 15.5 points here. The story is really the Lakers, but really quick on the Grizzlies, everybody's out. I think I counted 13, and that includes this time Brandon Clark, who had been playing. He's out with a right-hand contusion. You got Aldama, you got Bane. We know Jaren Jackson, those guys have been shut down. No Kennard either, and so it'll be a healthy dose of G.G. Jackson probably trying to go for 35 or 50. I mean, why not? To Sain's point, I mean, we could sit up here and let LaRavia get, you know, all the shots, or we can just run everything through G.G. Only two left, you know, as far as how it turns out for the Grizzlies. You're probably staring at two losses. Lakers needing to win, and again, that's more the story here with where they've gotten to. And then you're going to get a Denver team that on Sunday, who knows, maybe they've got the one seed wrapped up, maybe they don't, but you're probably going to get two pretty good punches here from two of the two Western Conference teams that need to win. And so from that standpoint, going to be rough for the Grizzlies, and thus the big spread. Now, on the Lakers, because, John, that's the interesting part of this. They have now dropped to 10. In the standings, the record's the same, but they're behind on tiebreakers to Golden State and to the Kings. And so it goes without saying tonight that they need a win. Otherwise, they're going to have to win two road games in the play-in just to get through. Okay? So they've gone from, at one point, John, it looked like maybe they'll get out of 9 and maybe even get up to out of the play-in or get to 7 or certainly have home court. Now they're in a spot where, because they've lost the last two games, they're down to 10. And so they are absolutely desperate, and I think everybody's that you know, they're in the running with Sacramento tonight, obviously Golden State, they all play tonight. I think it's Pelicans for Golden State, and they had rested some of their key starters against Portland to sort of prepare for this game, but what I'm trying to get to is that the Lakers are in must-win mode if they're going to get any, if they're going to get up to the eight. I think they're, I think as high as they, it may still be eight that they can get to. Maybe they can still get to seven, but they're locked into the play-in at this point, and they're facing, frankly, being in 10th if they don't win these final two.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the season for what it has been. It's been a lot of fun being able to just kind of come on here and break it down with you every day. And you know, I know we'll do our sign-offs and everything like that, you know, once we figure out where the Grizzlies land in the play-in. But I want to thank you for your professionalism throughout this season.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Because you've been a professional. It's been a joy to work with you. As someone who I know bleeds Grizz blue, Beale Street blue.
You know, it's been tough. But again, I like to focus, like we talked about with Sane, with some of the things that, you know, you wouldn't have gotten out of this season if it hadn't been as ugly as it was. And that includes a couple of wing players and maybe even one in Vince Williams Jr. that you're so comfortable with now that you're ready to put into a starting lineup next year. I mean, that's, we choose, John, through the negative to focus on the positive so that we see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's the way through. You got to be a professional about it. It's not always easy. But for real, like real talk, again, to co-sign and underline the ones that have had to really be up close to it, the Jessica Bensons, the Pete Pranikas, the Brevin Knights,
for real,
that have tried to spin this positive all season long. They're the ones having to do the real work there. So real talk, shout out to them because they've had it much tougher than me and you, John. Me and you can go, we can jump on Mark Pope. We can jump on Arkansas. We can jump on what Penny got to do. We can jump off this train anytime we want to. Those folks, they can't do that. And so real talk, man, the professionalism they've shown through this mess, shout out to them.
Yeah, you know,
Rob Fisher,
really
I must shout out Fish.
Job,
yeah,
Hasseltine. Yeah.
Hasseltine as well. Yeah. I got to shout out Fisher and Hasseltine as well. They've been right there at the top.
Yeah, it's a tough deal.
Some grizzled vets, right?
Fish's parlays is one of the last, you know, kind of one of the last reasons I've been tuning in still. You know, I'm kind of still interested, and those are compelling. That's about it, though. The basketball, not so much. Fish been doing pretty good on the parlays, though.
Yeah. I just couldn't do that job, man, because I would say this, how much it sucks. I would say this sucks, and I want to go home.
That's sweet. You're already home because you've got pink eye.
Yeah, but I'm saying if I was on the broadcast, I would say this sucks, and I want to go home.
Okay.
That's not going to get it done.
Oh, you know? It's not. You wouldn't be able to get through, bro.
But again, how many games left? Two games?
Yes, two. Two for the Grizzlies, John. Lakers, Denver.
I would put this season right behind. It'd be number two on my list, right behind the year they beat the Spurs as the eight seed. Just because of all the things that you discovered and learned about yourself, I'd say it's probably number two favorite for me.
So you want to play?
Reasonable people can disagree.
A serious question, if I asked you the same question I asked Sane, would you have a question for a member of the Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins or Zach Kleiman, a one off-season question that John Martin wants to know the answer to most? Is there one for you, or have you literally closed the book?
Nothing that they would actually answer.
Okay. Well, what would you like them to answer that they wouldn't? Yeah, is there one that you would like that they would? Is that what you're thinking about? Is there one that you would like that you know they wouldn't, but you would like them?
It would be. Do you have identified a player in this draft that you were absolutely intent on taking if you get that spot, or are you open to, or have you not, and are you open to trading this pick depending on, you know? That's what I would want to know.
Yeah. He's going to tell you, yeah, well, we can't wait to know our draft lottery position, and we'll be able to further ascertain some of those things later. Right.
That's exactly. Which, you know, save it, brother. You know what I'm saying? I want the real truth.
Well, I think the real truth is we like where we're at with Brandon Clark, and we think we found some wings. And hopefully everybody's back next year and ready to rock and healthy, and John Morant's off the Instagram, and bam, you're back to hopefully being a contender in the West. I mean, that is the story on the Grizzlies this season. Go find your center. That's the last thing.
Yep.
All right.
Next story.
Hey, I see that Memphis basketball is getting a little busy again. We have an FIU guard, I believe it is, visiting over the weekend. Arturo Dean, and then John Buggs III. From North Texas is also going to be visiting Memphis next week. He averaged 7.3 points a game for North Texas, shot 45% from three, So we've picked up Tulsa. We've already had Aaron Scott from North Texas in. We got John Bugs coming in. So we're going to pick up from there. FIU is essentially an honorary member of the AAC at this point. So we're going to pick up from there. Are you liking sort of the team that it appears Pitty is building thus far, Jason?
I'm going to need to know more. I'm going to need to know more on these guys. I mean, if I had to spin it, maybe, again, these are the kinds of fall in behind P.J. Haggerty, David Jones type role players we've said you need. Again, I don't have those guys' numbers in front of me, but and I would be also be how many years of eligibility? I'm looking for things as opposed to certain types of players, boxes to check off, multiple years, going to be role player type like you were 2 years ago when there was an established pecking order. So, again, I'd have to see what those numbers look like and how it would fit to have a better feel on it. But, I mean, we knew Penny was going to be working. We knew he was going to be bringing in players. The question, John, that we can't answer right now is how does it fit?
Yeah, Arturo Dean is a sophomore. He averaged 13 points a game last year, 42% from the floor, 30% from three.
Well, Haggerty did not shoot the ball well from three last year. What I'm hearing right now is where's the shooting? Yes, and also Ashton Hardaway walked out of here. And while, you know, maybe you don't, you know, we didn't have maybe enough of a sample size to know, we'd also know that he showed flashes of being that. So the shooting, that's it. I'm where's that? Gonna need some shooting as well, especially if you don't have David Jones, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have David Jones, all is good, but if you don't, then this sort of starts to look like a mess because you're just going to get zoned to hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, you roll out a lineup of Arturo Dean, P.J. Haggerty, you know. I don't know who else they would roll out to, but that backcourt is just not going to get respect, you know.
Joe Cooper. Mm.
Joe Cooper is not starting.
No. Yeah. Hopefully you're not having to go to Joe Cooper.
You hope you know, not.
If you're starting Joe Cooper, I think enjoy the final season. I love him, but enjoy the final season.
It might be over.
I mean,
love Joe, what he gave this year, but if you're having to start him, it's
Lawson
probably
still
over.
In the mix? I mean, we talked about Lawson, and he's in the portal.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
I don't think it's gotten serious.
You heard anything on that? Have you checked on that?
They said that there had been contact made, but since it didn't heat up very quickly, again, I haven't checked back in. But
we would probably have heard.
I would imagine, again, well, especially after you hear that contact's been made, a lot of times, okay, well, he's coming back for a visit, whatever.
Right.
And again, now Jonathan Lawson wouldn't necessarily need a visit, but no, I haven't heard, you know, it get much deeper than that. There's been contact talked. I mean, Penny's probably got to know how the rest of it looks, and Jonathan probably wants to know how the rest of it's going to look before he makes any commitment to coming back to Memphis. And so I don't know that one's going to heat up, John. But again, with so many open spots, I would never count it out, right? Penny can always go back, and he did that with Tyler Harris.
Right.
You know, a lot of times he'll keep that door open. So particularly if there becomes a need, John. And Johnny could shoot, right? Didn't Johnny go out of here with a pretty good clip from three?
Yeah, he was 41%.
Don't you remember? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Johnny could shoot. That was the other thing about it. So, again, if I'm sitting there, you know, two weeks from now, 3 weeks, and I still got 6-7 open spots, and I know this guy, and he's been in my program 2 years, you better believe it. I'd be reaching out and saying, "Come on, if you want to." But again, you know, I'm sure Penny's got a plan laid out, and I'm not sure right now that it includes Jonathan.
Yeah, but that's the latest. That's the latest with the Tigers bringing in John Bugs, who did hit some big shots against Memphis. Like, he is, you know, I liked him from the again relatively small sample size that I saw. But you know, 45% from three is real. If you end up landing him,
yeah.
I mean,
well, I think you need
he shot 4.6 a game, so.
With what we laid out, I think you need to shoot.
Specialist for you? I'm cool with that.
Dude, even if David Jones is back, you still need shooting. Haggerty is not that. He has not proven. Right. What is he, 28%? Like, even if David Jones is back, you still need shooting. With Ashton walking out of here, we don't know anything about Jared Harris. Got to imagine, even as a freshman, I'd put the odds on that he's not going to be a huge contributor. So you're going to need it even if you've got David Jones, you need this shooting. So That looks like a good piece.
Exactly, exactly. But that's the latest with the University of Memphis. Still working, no doubt. Penny Hardaway is over there and trying to put this team together.
Next story.
All right, I'm going to do my best here. Max Homa is your leader at the Masters. At least right now, he is through 10 in the second round. Yeah, John, I'm doing my best Jim Nance here. Seven under, he's one stroke ahead of Bryson DeChambeau. Had a great start, obviously, yesterday. And
so the lie detector results
the favorite, Scottie Scheffler, who is tied with DeChambeau at six under. Bryson is through five and is one over today, which has got him to where he is. Max Homa, again, two under today, is leading. Tiger Woods, are we going to make the cut, baby? For me, it's the big question of the week because it would be a record 24th, I read. I don't mean it's 23rd, 24th, it's somewhere there, but it would be a Masters record if he can make the cut this week. How is Tiger Woods doing? One over. Right now, here's my real Jim Nance. This is where I really – the projected cut, three over.
Okay.
So right now, Tiger Woods – at least on my latest, through 10, one over here in the second round. That's happened after having to make up the first round from yesterday. So,
was the cut today?
The cut will be today.
Yeah, after today. They're making up first round holes, too.
So basically, the projected right now is plus three. I think they were all done making them up. They had to do
they're
it
early
this morning.
They're into the second
morning,
now. So yeah,
everybody,
but I mean,
I think, is in holes. Some still have to start.
If the projected
the
cut
same.
Is three over, if he's three over, he does not make the cut?
That's a great question.
That's right, because if he would be plus one, he'd be fine.
No, it's the plus fours that would get cut out. All the plus threes. What he's asking is if you're plus three, are you cut out or is that the cut
line?
Plus fours are out, John. Yes, you're plus three right now projected. You're in there. So he's got two strokes to play with right now. Yes.
Nice.
The sports books are going to lose so much money on that.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay.
On
they're
the cut
lose so
make?
Much if Tiger makes the cut, they're going to lose a ton of money.
Huh.
Because everybody just keeps betting. Everybody just keeps betting that this is going to be the event. This is going to be the time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, this is going to be the year where Tiger finally puts together some kind of a, you know, tournament. I don't know.
People are saying that? What I've been reading and seeing is that people wonder if he's going to be able to hold up and have to withdraw from this tournament just because the...
I just think people are just, you know, they just want to believe in Tiger, man.
Oh,
they just
of course
want one
they
more
do.
Run,
yeah,
brother.
Most
which
of us
they need to understand that 2019 was the final one.
Well, my dad is one of those people. He's watching in Belize right now. Every single shot, hoping for greatness again, just to see the flashes, hoping you can have one more run. What was it 2019, where he did it? You know, he's hoping for that last... You know, those feelings again. It ain't happening is what I try to tell them every weekend.
Bettors put their money where they think the magic could possibly happen. Is that what we're thinking, John? Like, they just decide, hey, I'm going to put some money on this.
Wasn't he to win?
To make the cut.
Just to make the cut.
Yeah, they will it to win through
like,
the
I mean, it's
bets.
Like, where's the fun in betting, like, you know, the 49ers in the Super Bowl? Everybody wanted to say Mahomes is the underdog, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's what, you know, whether it's like, you know, if it's Purdue against a 16 seed, people are going to bet on the 16 seed on the money line, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's what's going to happen. It's just the way it goes.
Well, we know you'll be locked in this weekend to the third and fourth, fourth rounds.
Great tournament.
Yeah. Just watching it through a pink lens, right?
Yeah, it's a little blurry.
Nice.
It's a little blurry. There's no question. And you need to be grateful that I didn't bring this back. But again, I guess you're the one who gave it to me. So
I literally just slept in the same bed with a woman who had pink eye for 2 days and didn't get it. So it's not me that's giving this stuff to you guys. I'm immune is what's been proven to me. I don't get the pink eye.
You're immune to a lot
I don't
of
get
things.
The pink eye. Exactly. Yeah. You see, Brad's noticed how I'm always here at work because I never get sick. I don't do a.
No.
And I think of this plastic glass, Brad, has a lot
to do with it. Did you ever get sick when CJ was a baby?
I'm sorry?
Did you get sick when CJ was a baby?
I just have a stronger immune system than you. I'm not. Maybe it's been a result of being mixed, the best of both worlds. I have the strong white genes, the strong black genes.
Nice.
It perhaps makes me an X-Man. When it comes to my immune system, maybe that's the case.
Really is a blessing.
Now, I did get alopecia. I did get alopecia areata, and it came. So
what?
And it's not a perfect immune system. Yeah. Lichen planus as well is a nasty rash.
I think I heard about this when you started the show.
But I am usually able to come to work.
Yeah.
Usually able to get here and fight through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No gastritis.
You're resilient as hell.
No gastritis going to hold me down.
No.
Going to be here for you. John, that
was, I did the show with gastritis.
Yeah, from the
you
floor.
You did. Yeah. You were on. I remember that. Yikes.
I wouldn't call that a moment of being tough.
Devastating day.
Anyway, sounds like somebody pooted on your bed again. I'm talking about gas.
Yeah, we're going to have to do an investigation.
I would have my advice to you as we probably go to a break here, have you and Sam wash the sheets tonight. Wash the pillowcases.
Yes.
Probably a good thing for you guys. It'll help it clear up for you.
That certainly is going
to
be a plan.
And if you need, my wife's got some drops. She actually went to the doctor. You're going to need some drops.
Yeah, I need you to get those for me, and I need you to bring them to me, and then I need you to look me in the face and say that you didn't give this.
You're
going to
make me come out of me. I'm about to tell you something I don't want to say. I'll tell you somewhere to go that you or you could stick that right there. About to tell you, but I'm not going to do that. Now you can go get it yourself. I think there's even over the counter stuff.
Are there over the counter pink eye drops?
Maybe. I think it's that common. Maybe I don't know something that could help you, but. You need to go to the doctor.
You could do Teledoc.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah, because it's
and an
eye thing.
And do it from your home
thing.
And
yeah,
be able to
get
those. Anyway,
company provides that.
You need it, John, because what you don't want really is for that to spread through the house. And believe me, it will. You don't want Sam and mother-in-law and they both kids got it because it will. It'll get through there. Then you get it in both eyes. Mm-hmm. And it can last for a couple of weeks.
Legally blind.
So go on and get that cleared up, bro, so you can come to work on Monday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Tom Brady making a comeback? What?
I heard that.
Say it's not over, Jason.
We'll see.
Say it's not over.
You got to get out of ownership if he's going to do that mess. But he sure sounded like he would do it. He sounded, I don't think he was lying.
Got some news. We'll talk about that in more when we get back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. You're going to love them. They get stuff done. You know, the older I've gotten, Jason, the more I appreciate the people who just get ish done.
Yep.
Know what I mean?
Yes. Yep. Yes, I do.
That's exactly what the Live Love Group does. So you're going to hire them. You're going to email them. You're going to reach out to them. You're going to hire them. And let's say you're listing your home you're selling. They're going to list your home. They're going to reach a whole new network of people that you didn't even fathom. They're going to stage your home, make it look better than you could have ever imagined. And they're going to help you get an amount of money and a sum of money that you probably didn't think was possible. That's what they do every day. Nothing special for them. It's just a day that ends in Y. Reach out, so to livelovememphis.com.
Sorry, y'all. John's long pause got me off beat. Threw me
Breaking
off a little bit
pause.
There for that swallow. 901-625-5200 is how you get the process started. And Jennifer Carstensen is everything that John just said. She is. She's Mrs. Business. She gets that business taken care of. And when we're talking about business, we're talking about getting you the most money possible for your home. Do not leave a dollar on the table. She did that for me. She's done it for Kantar, for the Vannemans, for so many that we've sent over there. James, Home Run, McKenzie, made so much. He moved on out of state, he did, thanks to Jennifer Carstensen. So you could be next. First-time home buyers, do not be intimidated by answers that you don't know . Jennifer Carstensen has all of them, and at the least, again, even if you don't end up buying, she can be a great resource for you. So call that number, 901-625-5200. Yes, John, it's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
They're growing, man. Our friends at the Live Love Group are expanding like a mug.
It's beautiful to see. So happy for Jennifer.
That's how you know, you know? That's how you know that the word's getting out. The word is getting out, man, about the work they do. Speaking of work, Tom Brady was on a podcast with Vic Blends. You know Vic Blends, bro?
No, who is that?
Vic Blends?
Should
is
I know
a,
who it is? I should know or shouldn't?
No, I mean, okay. Not really. I mean, you're not on TikTok.
Okay, another TikTok guy. But obviously big enough TikTok to lure in. He must be huge to lure in Tom Brady, huh? Well, I guess I'm missing
out. His rise to fame was like, he goes to like college school, like college campuses, and he's like, yo, can I cut your hair for free? And
of course, young kids are willing to do it. Yes.
he goes into like these deep conversations with them while he's doing it. And he went by, like, they people started to, they dug the format.
Okay. You just and never know.
Yeah, now he's got a podcast where he does the same thing. Wow. He cuts people's hairs and, hair and has that conversation.
And is that what he did with Brady?
Yeah.
Wow. Brady let him cut his hair.
Yeah. Now, what I would say when I get my hair cut, I don't be one to talk, bro.
Yeah, you've told us that before. You're
that's the fundamental difference between
very
me
antisocial
and you.
With your hairdresser.
You want to go to the barber and you want to have this. You want to talk for hours on end.
I mean,
you know,
that's
I don't want to do that.
Sort of part of the culture, John, at the Black Barbershop.
Right.
We talk.
Right.
Yeah, we do. And you're antisocial, and you would like for the woman or man doing your hair not to say a word other than good day.
Exactly. Acknowledge me the first time when I sit in the chair, and then that's it.
Okay.
Well, and then ask me what I need to get, and then I'll tell you. And then if I so as the customer have something that I want to say, then I'll say it. But outside of that, you know, we don't have to talk, bro.
Okay.
Like,
so you wouldn't have been comfortable in the chair that Tom Brady was sitting in. That's what you're telling us with this deep conversation.
No, I don't know. I mean, Brady probably doesn't have to talk every day for 3 hours. You know, I'd be talked out. But what was interesting about this conversation specifically was that he was asked about coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Vic Blends that he's not opposed to it. If a team in the need called him, would he pick up the phone? He said, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me. If I become an owner of an NFL team, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah. And again, he reiterated about the ownership thing, and I don't think he's slowing that down just because, you know, some team during training camp gives him a call. I really don't. I think he was having fun with the idea. He was having fun comparing himself to Michael Jordan, the 4-5 coming back. But, again, because he reiterated it, he let you know that this is why it's not happening is because I'm about to go into ownership now. I mean, it's no, dude, don't. Again, don't do it. Don't get caught up in this. Don't fall for it. It's
don't do
over.
That.
It's over. He's about to be in ownership, and he's letting you know that this was just for play. This is for my man's podcast to blow up even more. Okay?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I mean.
You agree?
No, I disagree.
Don't you remember that Tom Brady was scared to get hit when he went out the last time?
Yes.
And he would remember that. And he probably already does, and that's why he'll never be back.
He has forgotten, bro.
That's why it wouldn't be effective and a bad idea for him. I'm pretty sure he still remembers it, John, is my point. He still remembers that. And
let's
again,
have him on and ask him.
Yeah. If you cut hair, perhaps we could have. You know, if you had ideas like this brother of, what's his name again? If you were a TikTok star like that, you know, but you haven't done that yet. You haven't taken off for the show.
Him. Yeah. I'm slacking like a bug, bro. I don't. I think he's being sincere. Now, I don't know if, like, let me ask you this. If Tom Brady said tomorrow, I'm unretired, like, the Raiders would probably, right?
If we're going to have this conversation, yes. I mean, it has to be, there's a handful of teams. It's certainly not teams like the Chicago Bears or the Washington Commanders that are really having to find the next guy and start that process. Right, I mean, not even the Bears, who I would tell you have a number one offense, or maybe even a Super Bowl contending offense. Maybe you plug them in, you say, "Hey, go play." No. You got the number one pick. You got to take it. You got to get young again. Nobody wants to. You know, what the likelihood is if you bring in Tom Brady, you're putting your team, your franchise on hold for a year, and probably to just come up short. And then you got to say, okay, who's the quarterback after that? You're really just you're putting your whole situation on hold. Now, maybe if it's somebody like the Raiders. You know, who are desperate at this point and maybe feel like, hey, we got enough defense and we got Devontae Adams that we're fine with throwing him in there for a year. We can throw away a year. Who cares? Oh, by the way, we'll be firing Antonio Pierce in 2 years anyway. I mean, that's maybe there are some teams that are willing to do a throwaway year, but that's what I'm telling you. That's who it would have to be. Teams that can fool themselves into thinking they're close, can sell that to their fan base, Tom's going to put us over the top, but are really willing to put it on hold for a year and not go anywhere. I mean, so it's got to be a handful. I think most of the league has moved on now from Tom Brady based on what we saw that last year.
Well, that's definitely true, but I would tell you that I would not use that. I would not use the D word with the Raiders. We're not desperate. We're deliberate. You are being disrespectful.
What?
So
how are you all not desperate? You don't have a quarterback right now that's, you know, not named
Brad. Gardner, tell him, Gardner Brad. Tell him who we got, Brad.
Gardner Minshew. I know about Gardner Minshew.
Brandon, Mississippi.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew.
Who's that? Who's out of Mississippi? Who's he talking about?
Minshew.
Yeah. Oh. High school. Yeah, in JUCO.
There's a word for him. It's called bridge. He's a bridge QB.
He played well for Indy and won games for Indy, right?
That was Steichen, though, unfortunately.
Right. Not a guy that you want to, unfortunately, miss you. Not a guy you want to pay to make the franchise
they
QB.
They paid him a good bit, though. Yeah, like, it's not a
1 year deal, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a starting quarterback, that's the going rate.
Yeah. We're both playing here, but I do think it seems like that's sort of a bridge is what you'd call him, right? You're like
1,000% is what he is. That's what he was going to be in Indianapolis until
he's a solid
Richardson
mid-range guy. Like he's not even not a starter or a backup. It's sort of like he can be your guy when you're trying to fuddle with whatever rookie you're going to bring in or several rookies you're going to bring in. I guess.
See, I read that you guys want to move up, but you don't. I read from our man. He had his newsletter out. John, did you read it?
No,
Right Angle Sports. You put out Adam Chernoff, and he points out how Minnesota now with the two first round picks, they've got the ammo to move up like you all want to do. He said you guys do not have the ammo to be able to make that move to go up and get a quarterback, and so one way or the other, you're sort of going to be stuck with whatever falls down there, or if a Penix slides to a second round, although I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. So he points out you guys can't be as aggressive as it looks like Minnesota is going to be. Everybody thinks Minnesota is going to trade up to get JJ.
Mm.
And that very well could happen.
I think that's 100% happening.
They've got two first-round picks to do so, to move up. So
that's 100% happening. Mm-hmm. If they like him, it's 100% happening.
Right. Well, they must really like him then. Wow.
I mean, a lot of people seem to think he is, you know.
He's a winner. That's what they're selling most. That's the number one thing. Because you have to put it up there top. You can't say great arm talent can do anything with a football because there's and Fitzy pointed this out and you read about him, there's a whole side of the field that he can't really throw to, that he's not comfortable throwing to. And so, again, you can't sell him as polished passer. You have to sell him first as winner. Michigan, I understand, you know, we have a run game where we don't need to have McCarthy out there leading us or trying to, you know, be the propeller of our offense. You could say that all day long. If he had all of the tools, we would have seen a more wide-open offense, I think. I think part of that has to be about what McCarthy was. All that said, yes, he's a winner. But, man, you know, that's a long way down from Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins could get that ball to Jefferson. I don't know that McCarthy can do so. You know, you've got a number one receiver you've got to convince. You know, and if that kid comes in and he can only throw it to Jefferson on the right side of the field, well, that ain't going to work.
Well, they got Addison now.
Addison's good. You're right. They got two. Yeah, they got two. Addison's a good one.
Right?
Yeah, Hawkinson's a good one.
They got some slick weapons up there, bro.
Dude, go ahead.
They did.
Yeah, show me where has J.J. McCarthy had wide receiver weapons and been hitting? That's not what he's done. So you're going to have to show it.
I agree.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.